This morning we're continuing in our August sermon series, Finding God in Unusual Places. And today we turn to the book of Genesis 28, verses 10 through 19, to read and reflect upon a very unusual encounter. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me now to Genesis 28, beginning in verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a staircase resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he'd placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you remember the first dream you ever dreamed? I reckon I had to be around 4 or 5 when I had my first memorable dream. And it went something like this. I had this vision in my head of walking into my great-grandparents' house. They lived just down the street. But it was one of those strange dreams where I wasn't actually me, but I was sort of detached, watching me enter their house through the back door. So I watched myself go up the back steps into the door, and the door closed behind me. But just moments later, I watched myself rush out of the house and stumble down the steps. And then out of the doorway appeared my great-grandmother. Problem was, it wasn't actually my great-grandmother. Instead, it was a 6-foot python standing there. But the python was wearing my great-grandmother's clothes. And all of a sudden, this pantsuited python gets ready to lunge at me on the ground, and then that's it. That's where the dream stopped. No resolution. I was left wondering whether I was going to be eaten the next time I saw her. You can imagine the anxiousness within myself as the next day, like so many days, I got up and walked across the street, and I walked up those steps, and I very gingerly opened the back door and walked in, and thankfully, there was not a tall snake ready to devour an anxious red-headed child on that day. Now, to this day, I still struggle to make sense of what that dream was trying to tell me, if anything at all. But dreams are like that, aren't they? Sometimes they're so vivid and real, and yet we can't for the life of us figure out how they come to be or what in the world they mean. If we're being honest, most of us dismiss dreams as nothing more than nocturnal flights of fancy as our brains process all the things that we've said and done and experienced during the day. In spite of all this, though, our dreams deserve to be taken seriously. Research done by the Cleveland Clinic shows that our brain activity while dreaming is similar to our brain activity while wide awake. Not only that, but what we're processing and experiencing during the day usually manifests itself in our dreams as well. For example, the Cleveland Clinic's research shows that when you're experiencing a lot of stress and anxiety, you tend to dream a lot more. And when you do, chances are you experience more nightmares and stressful dreams because your dreams are trying to help you process and manage all of your emotions. More than something that's entirely disconnected from our everyday lives. Dreams have this unique ability to help us process complex feelings and thoughts in abstract and surreal ways. That's an ability that we're going to see on display as we reflect on today's scripture out of Genesis chapter 28. For even in unusual places like our dreams, God can help us understand more about our problems, our promise, and our calling. So turning our attention now to the world of Genesis 28, let's take a moment to better understand the context for today's scripture. Now, right off the bat, we meet Jacob, the son of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham. And by this point in time, Jacob's created an enormous amount of stress and worry for himself and his family. See, years prior, God had made a promise with his grandfather Abraham. God said to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This promise to Abraham applied to his descendants as well, with his son Isaac being the next recipient of this amazing blessing. Isaac would in turn share the same blessing with his firstborn son Esau. But his second son, Jacob, wanted it more. He craved this blessing. So without Esau's knowledge, Jacob fooled their blind and elderly father into giving him Abraham's blessing instead. When Isaac and Esau discovered what had happened, it was too late. The damage had already been done, and Jacob's blessing could not be taken away. Now, Esau was understandably upset, but his anger led him to a dark and dangerous place, ultimately vowing to kill his brother once their father had died. For this and other reasons, Jacob left his family and set out on his own. And as he did, you've got to imagine that he did a lot of soul searching along the way. After all, Jacob had done some dishonest things, but now he was burdened with this great blessing, which also came with incredible responsibilities. Jacob would have undoubtedly been gripped by a great deal of stress and anxiety and worry. Would he be killed? Could he find the right wife in a new place like his father had told him? And ultimately, would the God of Abraham and Isaac bless him as they've been blessed? Or would he be forsaken, forgotten, and cast aside? With all these and more questions swirling around in Jacob's head, it sounds to me like he was bound to have some very strange and very stressful dreams. But I bet even he didn't think that God would use these dreams to communicate a powerful promise of comfort and love. Beginning in verse 12, we see glimpses of the dream that Jacob had. A dream in which he saw a great staircase resting on the earth, with its top reaching heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Let me tell you, on the off chance that I would have remembered this dream had it happened to me, I'm not really sure I would have been able to make much sense of it all. After all, a staircase with angels going up to heaven and down back to earth? Where do you begin to make sense with a dream such as this? Well, perhaps the most important thing we can take away from this strange and vivid imagery is that God's messengers were going up to heaven and then coming back down to earth. If we're thinking in a different kind of light, most of us would assume sort of divine staircase would begin with angels coming down and then going back up, and not vice versa. Now, admittedly, this may just be a matter of semantics, but in a sense, this dream is offering glimpses of a world where God's messengers are already among us, ascending on high to hear God's voice, and then coming back down to share it with others. Was this the world that Jacob actually lived in? And if so, who could bear the blessings and promises of God to the people? Well, these were all questions answered by the rest of the dream as seen in verses 13 through 15, where it says this: I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. The promises that God made to Jacob through this dream are similar to the promises made to Abraham and Isaac before him. The promises of great blessings, great responsibilities, and the great things that God will do through him. For the first time, God announces that he has chosen Jacob to be the bearer of these covenant promises. Now that's awfully generous, especially when you consider the deceitfulness that he displayed to both his father and his brother. But here again, we see God's amazing grace on display, as these promises weren't given to Jacob because he was worthy of them, and they weren't given to him because God was impressed by how he had gamed the system. No. God was under no obligation to bless Jacob rather than Esau. Yet even so, that's what he has chosen to do. God chose to show mercy and grace to someone who didn't deserve it, demonstrating through word and deed how Jacob was to lead his children to be God's people, by embodying and living out the grace and mercy of God himself. Now, such an unexpected gift rightly surprised Jacob, as he fully expected to continue onward on his journey, alone, afraid, and unsure of where he stood with God. But as God revealed to Jacob through this dream, the Lord would be beside him always, no matter what. You know, when you're going through a tough time, it's easy to feel abandoned, forgotten, and alone. It's easy for our fears, worries, and anxieties to get the better of us. But what if you weren't really alone? Friends, that's what we all have access to by faith. We have access to the Holy Spirit who is with us and for us, especially in those moments where we're confronted and challenged by the most daunting of circumstances. Even when we're alone, we're not really alone. For just as God told Jacob, he tells us to this day, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. By faith, we are all children of Abraham, and thus we get to share in these amazing promises. Promises of blessings, promises of great things yet to come, and most importantly, promises of God's abiding presence with us always. Awakening from this dream, Jacob realizes in an instant that his life has been changed forever. No longer was he running from something, but rather he was now living for something. Listen again to verses 17 through 18. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." When we encounter God in unusual places, we too, like Jacob, stand in awe of his presence and his power. To think that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would show up in unexpected ways to comfort and reassure people like us is just too incredible to believe. Friends, God is real. And his love for us will always find us in the most unusual of places and unexpected of ways. That's just the slightest indication of how much he cares for you and for me. There's no place he won't go and nothing he won't do in order to remind us of his love and of his calling on our lives to be a blessing to others. And that's what it ultimately all comes down to, right? Understanding how we've been blessed and realizing in turn what we're called to do with those blessings. Jacob's dream helped him visualize what he'd been blessed with, as well as this great responsibility that he and his family would have in declaring God's love to the ends of the earth. Maybe we need those kind of dreams today. Maybe we need to close our eyes and spend some time being overwhelmed by all those blessings that we take for granted and awake, convicted, and compelled to share those blessings with others. Now, of course, that's easier said than done, right? Because we can't always depend on our dreams to offer this kind of clarity and conviction. We've got to admit that God's not going to speak through every dream we have. If I die and go to heaven today and he tells me that Python great-grandmother had something to do with my life, I will be as shocked and amazed as anything. God can do it all, but realistically, not every dream we have is going to come from God. But that doesn't mean that he can't speak to us through our dreams. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't choose to do so from time to time. Such a realization makes it all the more important that we familiarize ourselves with God's voice so that we can recognize when he's speaking to us and when he's not. Because if you stop and think about it, a lot of our stress, our anxiety, and our worry comes from listening to views and viewpoints that we believe come from God, but actually don't. More often than not, we buy into dreams that have absolutely nothing to do with God's plan for our lives. That's why it's so crucial for us to walk with Jesus daily and spend time in God's Word so that we can recognize and follow the voice of our shepherd. As Jesus tells us in John 10, 27 and 28, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." As we've seen through today's scripture, God has great plans for those of us who believe in and follow him. He's got plans to bless us and to use us in the building of his kingdom. It doesn't matter what we've done or what's been done to us. When we all humble ourselves before the Lord, there's no telling what he's going to do for us or through us. And if that's the kind of life we want to live, then we must listen for God's still, small voice all the time, every day, so that we can better understand the promises and plans that he has for each and every one of us. Because make no mistake about it, if God's got promises and plans for someone like Jacob, then believe you me, he's got promises and plans for someone like you too. So don't limit where you're looking or listening for God's presence in your life. Because more often than not, he's going to show up where you least expect him, even in your dreams. Because even in unusual places such as our dreams, God can help us understand more about our problems, our promise, and our calling as Christians. Would you pray with me? God, how wonderful it is to know that you desire to be with us and to speak with us so much that you're even willing to come into our dreams to share visions of your promises and of your plans for our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are never far away from us and that you have those great promises and plans set before us as your children. Help us to be mindful of when and how you're speaking to us and call us to faithful obedience as we seek to use the blessings you have given us to bless others in return and to share your love with them through word and through deed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We can all do better in the heeding of listening to God's voice and of spending time in prayer with him and reading his word to recognize better what his voice sounds like and what it's prompting us to do so that we can hear and listen and respond to him whether waking or sleeping, each and every day of our lives. If that's the type of faith and life you have now, that's a wonderful thing. But if it's not the faith and life you have now where you hear and respond to God's voice, Today might be the day to step out on faith and believe in him. If this is a day to believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, or join the fellowship of this church, or seek prayer for something on your hearts and minds, I'll be at the front to greet you and receive you during our final hymn. And that hymn is number 458, Nearer My God to Thee. Let us stand and sing.